Good morning. So I just realized that my topic of the sermon is directed to a lot of those hardworking moms and dads that happen to be walking out the door right at this moment. Wonderful to see all the kids. If you would, take your Bible out and turn to 1 Timothy 3. And what I'd like you to do is stick your finger in 1 Timothy 3 or grab a piece of paper or grab a pencil, because we're going to end up there, and that's where I'd really like for you to kind of focus on. But we're not starting there. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Let me echo the words of last week's speaker, Pastor Sullivan, when he mentioned about Proverbs. He said, and this is his quote, "Those maxims are what usually happens. That isn't a guarantee that it's going to happen that way. Those maxims are only half the truth, and the book of Ecclesiastes helps you with the anomalies, the enigmas, and the things that don't make sense." I want to encourage you, if you missed the sermon last Sunday, to go online and listen to it. In fact, where's Thomas? He's probably taking kids across. If you've not seen our new website, go to it. I started going to church here, what year? 2007. Until 2 weeks ago, the website had not updated its look since 2007. Thank Thomas Morrison for that. I'll be sure and thank him. But I was able to actually take that. My wife missed the sermon last week, and I was actually able to go to the website and click on it from my phone and text it to her, and she was able to just click on it and listen. It worked. It's a great thing. So what does it mean, or what is the way he should go? What do we as parents need to focus on there? Of course, obviously, we follow Christ. We want to teach our children to follow Christ, and we want to teach them to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But how specifically? There's another verse I wanted to go over real quick, because some of you have 1, 2, 3-year-olds, and then some of you have older ones, and as you go through training up your child, there's stages there that you want to focus on. And I like this verse as one of the things you can really focus on early, even for really young children. It says, this is Ephesians 6:1-3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." It's very important at an early age to focus on this for your children, to focus on teaching them to be able to sit down. I mean, we're talking about a 2-year-old, right? Sit down and pay attention. I like this quote. I'm not sure where it came from, but it said, "It's easier to bring up a boy than to mend a man." And so I would encourage you at a young age to work on a reminder, parents, verse 3 is not saying to teach your children to obey and honor so that it will be well with you. It's saying it because it will be well with your child while on earth. So that should be an encouragement to us. And how much better will it be for your child if they have put in their toolbox, in their backpack at a very young age, the tools of honor and obedience and respect, so that when we trust that they will trust in the Lord someday, that they will have a head start on how to follow Christ and what that looks like. So, you've brought them up in respect, to listen, to obey. Let me just say, it won't be perfect, right? We all continue to work on that with our little ones, even our older ones. And Lord, we just ask that we remember that all the answers are right here in Your Word, in the book. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, you ask, I survived the terrible twos, now what? What is the next tool to put in my backpack? Well, an example, some of the ladies in our church have had Bible studies and they've gotten together and they've gone over Proverbs 31. And that's a wonderful chapter to go through. And I'm sure you ladies, you look at that and you think of it for yourself. Who should I be? What does God expect of me? But I'd ask you to just also remember, and I know some of you do this, remember to look at it and go, okay, so that's what my daughter should aspire to be, and that's a way that I can focus on it. But I'm going to ask your forgiveness because I'm going to focus more on sons today. But I think you will agree with me that everything I focus on here probably is about 95% relevant for both sides. So, Let me describe this. I was invited. I think David's probably out in the foyer working. David and Ben, hi. They have a video out there. I was invited to go to a father and son retreat a couple of months ago, and man, what a glory that was. Actually, I have to say it was called a father and son retreat, but it turned out to be for me a father and son and grandfather retreat because I got to go with my. With, of course, David and Ben, but also with Mr. Schultz and I both went. It was a wonderful time. And one of the speakers said something that was very revealing to me. I had never thought of it this way. They mentioned that you should raise up your sons with the purpose of preparing them to be elders or deacons. I hadn't really thought about it that way. What was interesting, what the speaker didn't know, is I happened to be reviewing a couple of books right at that time. These books are, one's called The Minister of Mercy, The New Testament Deacon, and the other one is Biblical Eldership. These are by Alexander Schrock. And I thought it was very interesting, so I actually came home and looked through that again with that purpose, thinking, well, what do they mean by that, raising up your sons to be a deacon and elder. So, if you would pray with me just for a moment, bow your heads. Father, I pray that you would allow me to use this example. We know that Paul wrote this chapter not as a prescription for raising up your children. But Lord, we want to raise up our children in the way they should go. And Lord, we know that even at 3 years old, we cannot know how you will call them to serve. But Lord, allow me to presume that you want us to prepare them to succeed in the event that you do call them to serve in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to go back to 1 Timothy, I'm going to go through some of these verses real quick. Fairly quick. And I want you to think about it, about your sons and daughters. Now, the words are going to say sons. I'm going to use son a lot. But I think most of these, like I said, relate to your daughter as well. It says, an overseer then, starting in verse 2, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. I want you to think, when my son is reading this when he is 35 years old, will he be packing the skills and understanding and desires to be qualified for this? Verse 3 goes on and says, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. Pugnacious for some of you, I needed to look it up. Is quarrelsome or kind of ready for a fight at any moment. I want you to think, will my son, when he turns 18, will he already have heart issues that are going to send him down a path for his next 10, 20, or 30 years living contrary to these attributes? Is he going to have habits and worldviews that are contrary to these? I did want to point out one thing about pugnacious, since I mentioned it. I do believe strongly that you raise up your sons not to be afraid of conflict, to not be afraid to stand up for the truth, because the Bible does tell us that our sons are the protectors of His word and the protectors of family. Verses 3 and 4. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So when my son is married, has a job, has bills to pay, has children to raise, and church to attend, did you, the one who has some responsibility according to Proverbs 22:6, give him the tools in his backpack and send him off on his journey to even have half a chance to accomplish these things? Verse 6 and 7 says, and not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. One of the attitudes that I have heard from some Christian parents is when they say something like this. They say, well, I can only point them in the right direction and have to trust in the Holy Spirit to do the rest. And I just don't agree with that sentiment. Yes, we must rely on the Holy Spirit, but we as parents are called to train them up. And so according to Proverbs 22:6, it's the Holy Spirit working through you that is training those children up. Going on to verse 8 and 9, deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Do we as mothers and fathers, do we teach our sons these attributes and expect them, teach them that they are expected in our family and expected by our Lord and are to be respected attributes, attributes that they look up for and they strive to attain? Do you make a big deal out of someone standing for the truth and point those out to your children? Do you point out to your son or daughter examples of sordid gain? And do you teach them not to lie? These are just all more tools that they can carry with them in their backpack through life. Verse 12 says, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Marriage is a divinely instituted lifelong covenant between one man and one woman. Teach your children, boys and girls, what biblical marriage looks like. Look in the Bible and teach them what a covenant is, and show them how the Bible uses over and over the covenant of marriage and compares it to the new covenant of Christ, because it is an unbreakable bond. So in this New Testament deacon book, they went through 1 Timothy and other verses, and actually on page 89, it, for those of you who might have this, there's a table, a list of what they call qualifications, and it's got 25 things. So I listed them out here as 25 areas. View this kind of as an outline. If you are a parent and you're looking for, okay, what should be things I can focus on for my children? These are 25 character attributes, qualities for their life that would be good for you to focus on. write these on their heart. Find Bible verses that talk about each of these and have them memorize them. It will be a great encouragement for them in their life. And always watch for just life opportunities to reinforce those qualities. So going through these, dignity, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not fond of sordid gain, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Beyond reproach, husband of one wife, manages his household well, temperate, prudent, respectable, and hospitable. Not pugnacious, but being gentle. Uncontentious. Not a new convert. Pray that your daughter or son will come to Christ early. Be of good reputation with those outside the church. And not be self-willed and not quick-tempered. Being a lover of what is good, just, devout, self-controlled, holds fast to the faithful word in all things, and to be a servant and be service-oriented. There's a lot more in His Word. I know that is not an exhaustive list, obviously, but I think if you're looking for things that you can focus on to fill your child's backpack with tools, because we all go through life with a lot of baggage, right? And we need the things of the Lord to be in there. And young men who are out there, I've been asked a couple of times in the past by young men in this church, you know, Pastor Heidemann, Mr. Heidemann, you know, what should I be focusing on at this point in my life? And man, what a blessing it is to have young men in this church that are willing to strive for those things and ask those questions. And I need to ask for forgiveness because I never thought to look in 1 Timothy 3 and say, hey, just go through these 25 things right here and search your heart. Open Scripture and ask yourselves, you know, what is the Lord teaching me about these 25 things? Are there areas that I can focus on? One of the other things I'd like to point out is we as elders have been talking recently about, you know, trying to schedule maybe a child dedication service at some point. And I'd ask you to pray about, well, what does it mean to dedicate my child? Because it's really a commitment by you. And what does that commitment look like? And what does that do for your family? And so if you are interested in that, I think you can contact any of us elders. I don't think we have a date or anything on that yet. But something that I want you to pray about and think about committing to the Lord in front of your church, that you want to raise up your child in the way they should go, and that you may not know what that looks like right now. You may not ever know exactly what that looks like. We all struggle, but to the glory of God, we're able to sit here and struggle together, and iron sharpens iron, and cry on each other's shoulders when we fail. And so, brothers and sisters, I just pray that you, next time, you know, you sit in a Bible study and you think about these things, about what is a Proverbs 31 woman, or, you know, what is it take to be... What does the Bible teach us the qualities of an elder or a deacon is? that you think, okay, that could be something I really need to look at as a reflection on what I'm focusing on for my children. And I think you can get a lot out of that. Let's just go to prayer. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I do thank you for the men and women in this church body who have committed to raising up their children in a world full of sin and conflict, in a world where the current worldview really doesn't glorify hardly any of these attributes. It's a struggle at times, Lord. We need you and we need your Holy Spirit to help us. Because in our own abilities, our children are not going to grow up treasuring who you want them to be. The world is loud and the world is persistent on showing them other qualities that are more macho or more able to allow them to fit in to their peer groups or to their the situation that's around them. Lord, give us the boldness. Give fathers and give mothers the boldness to stand by your word. And Lord, give us grace. Because very few of us can get to the end of raising our children and feel confident that we did everything that we could. And Lord, we know that we do have to depend on the Holy Spirit. And we know that we can depend on you in our weakness and our failures. And so, Lord, I ask that you go with each mom and dad that are out there today, and that you would give them boldness and that you would give them strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.